Rent.com. Racing's number one website has the value-added information not available anywhere else. Trainer and jockey stats, detailed pedigree data, exclusive Brits pace, speed, and class ratings, free memberships, free handicapping software, race entries and results, handicapper selections, and so much more. For a true picture,
all right, here we go in five.
Hey. Brissette.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
Miss Inclusive, winner last Saturday, the $100,000 Parks Oaks, is a three-year-old filly by Include. Bred by Burton C. Jones and trained by John Service, Miss Inclusive is a $75,000 graduate of the OBS April sale. Broke her maiden first time out as a two-year-old at Laurel, and she posted two straight wins and has never been off the board in six career starts. She's a runner, a typical Include. Include is the sire of four stakes winners already this year, and I'm sure you remember Include Me Out, winner of the 2015 running of the classic Grade 1 Mother Goose Stakes at and Riker, champion two-year-old colt in Canada last year. He goes in another stakes today. Those are just two of the more recent stakes winners sired by Include. Include has sired nine Grade 1 winners, and he came within a length of siring his 10th when Call Included came that close to winning the Grade 1 Gulfstream Park Handicap earlier this year. Year after year, Include has sent a steady procession of high-class stakes winners to the races. Stands at Mr. and Mrs. Burr and C. Jones Airdrie Stud for $10,000 live foal. See the website at airdreestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
From the horse capital of the world, it's Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis on Fox Sports 1580.
And down the fence they come!
We'll talk about the horses.
Oh, whirl away, pulls away.
The people.
Here comes Tim Cam down the middle of the track now.
And the history of the thoroughbred industry.
And it's Trick Materials that wins the play 2.5 lengths.
Now live from Kentucky's bluegrass region, here's Ursel.
Well, good morning, everyone, and we are here at the Thoroughbred Center out on the Paris-Lexington Road, or Lexington-Paris Road, depends on which end of it you live on, and it's raining out here right now, and gee whiz, I don't know when I'm going to mow the farm. It's starting to look like Vietnam. I mean,
at least.
I'm going to get lost out in those weeds.
We've even got some buttercups. Not many, but we got buttercups too.
Yeah.
Those are poisonous to horses. They don't eat them normally, but if they eat the other stuff and they eat them, they're in
trouble. Well, if there's
nothing
left, they'll eat it. Yeah.
So that's tough. Got to spray those dudes.
Well, as soon as it dries out, no sense spraying it because it washes all away.
I know. You have to have 24 hours out.
What's that stuff we usually spray with?
Pasture Pro.
Yeah, Pasture Pro.
Yeah, get it at Tractor Supply. It's good stuff.
Good stuff, you can turn out on it.
Yeah, you can go out there and just spread it right past them.
Yeah.
But I don't have to use the big spreader. I can go out with my drag-along thing and get those buttercups first. Phew!
She's not referring to me when she talks about a drag-along thing.
No. I could, though.
Might have said tag along. That might have been. Yep. All right, what are we going to do today? We've got Tom Hinkle's going to come on from Hinkle Farms over in Bourbon County. I'm not sure how to pronounce this horse's name. It's D-I-V-I-S C-L-E-R-O. Disaclero? Well, I don't know. Tom will straighten me out when he gets here. Anyway, he had a winner, big day, Derby Day. Of course, the horse that I can't pronounce his name won the $500,000 Woodford Reserve Classic. That was the 11th race, and then he watched the 12th race, which was the Kentucky Derby, and of course, Nyquist won that, who is out of a mare that's owned by Hinkle Farm. So congratulations to them, and I called Tom up, and he said he'd be glad to stop by. He said, what do you want to talk to me for? I said, I want to touch somebody. Oh, maybe some of that luck will run off to me.
Exactly. Wow.
Besides, I always like to talk to people after they win a nice race because they're always in a good mood.
Absolutely. Happy, happy.
And he ought to be happy for about a year on that one anyway. Michael Blowen from Old Friends is coming. Dr. Brian Walridge hopefully will stop by from the Park Bet Firm. Steve Moody from the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. That's published by Bloodstock Research Information Services. And good morning. Unbridled Sydney Stakes is a feature up in Churchill Downs today. It's for 3 years up, three and up, fillies and mares going 5/8 of a mile on the grass. Got a little history going for us today. They're running the Bogey Stakes and the Peter Pan up in New York. Peter Pan, so I'm going to do a little bit something on them. Of course, we've got Jackie's announcements. Peter Pan, incidentally, put a good little story on him. He was a foal in 1904 by Commando, and he was bred by James R. Keene. And he put, Mr. Keene had a three-horse entry for the Futurity that year. Peter Pan, Pope Joan, that's Joan, not John, and Ballot. And anyway, there was... three horse entry that day, and the race was won by a horse named Electioneer, who was by Voter. And now Voter stood at Mr. Keene's farm, Castleton Farm, along with, of course, Commando, who was the sire of Peter Pan. But anyway, Electioneer won the race. And Mr. Keema, he must have been had a run on a short fuse or something, because it ticked him off pretty good.
Yeah.
Cleaned that one up, didn't I?
Yeah.
Anyway, he got so mad about it that he had let the breeder of the Voter book of Electioneer breed to Voter, you know. And thereafter, he never let anyone breed to any of his studs.
Funny.
And he shut them off.
That's funny.
They said, they're going to beat me. They're going to beat me with something else. You know, we're not going to beat
not
me
my own stuff.
Not by all my
Sounds
stuff.
Like Riddle and Man of War.
Well, no, that wasn't. Well, yeah, he did that.
He did that.
But just Walter Jeffords, he let breed to him. Of course, he was related to his niece by marriage, you know.
Yeah.
And anyway, that...
Sent some junk mares to that horse.
Boy, he sure did. Here comes Michael Blowin.
Michael Blowin has entered the room. Hey.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that was kind of a fun thing. But morning, Michael.
Morning, Ursel.
How are you doing this morning?
Doing good.
Dry.
I tell you what.
So far, so good.
Thank Charlie McDaniels for bringing in
food.
Yeah, look at this.
All the goodies he brought in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jackie's
nice?
Already confiscated everything. It looks like chocolate.
Brownies only have chocolate in them, right? We're not worried about anything else, right?
Right.
Okay, just checking.
Good derby.
Yeah, great derby. It was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah. I tell you what, though, it was all the come behind horses. It was rough. I mean, they all had excuses.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they were knocked around. And
well, it's ever since Churchill opened, it's happened that way. If you're not 1, 2, or 3 at the top of the stretch, you might as well just hang it in.
Well, that's not quite true.
Yes, it is. Go look at the charts. Believe me, I'm talking about all the races at Churchill Downs up until that point. You had to be 1, 2, or 3 at the top of the stretch in order to win.
Well,
there you are.
There you are. Well, anyway, I was just tickled to death that Nyquist won it.
Yeah, it's nice.
I hope it shuts everybody up. It says that Uncle Mo can't sire classic winner.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, oh, he couldn't win. He didn't win past a mile and a 16th, you know. I'm so sick of hearing that.
Well, Uncle Mo had other problems besides the fact that, that might have prevented him from going more than a
that
mile.
That is exactly.
16th, right. This horse is unbelievable. You know, I ran into his whole family. I ran into Mike Rapoli's whole family before the Derby. And I said, well, you got a good shot. If you don't win it with your own horse, you might as well win it with one of the Uncle Mo's.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Exactly.
Well, and Dr. Byers said at the time, he has to be a super horse.
Yeah.
The way he was and with his problem.
It would compromise his training his whole three-year-old season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a little, if you just excuse me for a minute.
Yes, sir.
Just a couple of paragraphs that Joe Palmer wrote. And this is dedicated to all those who criticize Uncle Mo because he didn't run as well as they expected as a three-year-old.
Okay.
Now, this is written by Joe Palmer. This seems stranger than fiction, and in a way it is, for it concerns the career of an English horse named Humorous, which raced for J.B. Joel about 25 years ago. Humorous was a son of Polymelus from the Oaks winner Jest, and as a two-year-old, he seemed something special. Brownie Carslake, who rode him in the Middle Park Plate, said he was a natural stayer. But at 3, Humorous ran old Charlie Morton, his trainer, nearly crazy. He would work brilliantly, and then he would be as dull as stale beer. It got about that he was moody. He would, and he wouldn't, and that he would go well enough when it wasn't too tough, but lacked heart for serious business. Humor seemed to endorse this in the 2,000 guineas. The big mile race, which is the stepping stone to the Derby, Barb was winning easily enough when he suddenly stopped and left Craig and Iran to fight it out with Lemonora. But he won the Derby under the patient hands of Steve Donahue, even then a veteran nearing 40. 2 weeks later, at Ascot, he bled after a work and was sent back to the training grounds at Wattage to recover. A little later, he was found dead in his stall in a pool of blood. An autopsy showed that the hemorrhage which killed Humerus resulted from a lung tissue which was degenerating under an advanced and long-standing case of tuberculosis. He had only one lung functioning when he won England's most coveted classic, and even that was not in healthy condition. But somehow he had got himself set for that testing mile and a half journey. Kind of hard to read. And one would rather not imagine the searing pain that the last uphill furlongs cost him. But he won and it killed him. And those who called him a quitter were somewhat abashed. Some of them for as long as 10 minutes.
Perfect. Yeah.
That's dedicated to all of you who criticize Uncle Mo for not running as well as expected as a 3-year-old.
There you go. Yeah.
And we had to put Walenda down.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's the same story.
Yeah.
You know, what a tough.
Which foot of his was so bad?
Well, neither of them were very good.
I saw he had a funky-looking shoe on.
Those guys at Dr. Fraley's kept that horse alive for years and years and years with their experimentation with his feet. And he was just tough. I talked to his trainer, Frank Alexander, a couple of days after Walenda died. And he just said, you know, he was just so ornery all the time. He was just ornery. And Frank said he could have been a really, really good horse if he just paid attention a little bit to what somebody else might want him to do occasionally.
That wasn't happening. Maybe his feet hurt. Have you ever seen me feet hurt?
No, his feet did hurt. He said he always had trouble with his feet. He always had trouble. And, you know, it's kind of interesting that he's named after Carl Walenda, who made his living by his feet. And then when he died, he fell off the wire, so his feet deserted him, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of an interesting, but that Walenda, he was just sensational, and he hung on until the very end.
How old was he?
27.
You bought him a lot of time, Michael.
Yes.
That's the truth. Well, how old was he when you got him? I remember when he came.
20?
Yeah, I see. Mm-hmm. You gave him a long time.
And he came from Japan. I'll never forget this. When he got off the trailer, my friend from Sally Van says, "What are you going to do with him? Look at him." And he limped off the trailer going, he's bad. He says, "You're going to have to put him down in like 2 days.
Yeah.
I said, "Well, let's just see what happens." And he did very, very well. So, and he was, you know, the other thing that was so great about him is that all the research that they did on his feet have really improved equine podiatry. Because of the papers that were written about him and his particular condition and how they solved it. Because they went from a fish shoe, a fishtail shoe, to another with a rubber shoe, a big rubber shoe. And then the last shoe that he had that was protecting him was like a rocking chair.
Yeah, it stuck out behind. I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, amazing.
And that kept the pressure off for a while. But then the other day, Carol Oates is our farm manager in the morning. She said, you know, he had a really, really rough night, and you could tell he was trying to get up, and then he cut himself.
Yep. Jeez.
Yeah. So we really did do him a favor, and I really appreciate all he did for us. But you talk about not being a quitter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you know that. Remember a few years ago, while I'm picking bones here. This guy on TVG. Said it was one of the cheap races. You know, it was a claiming race of one of the smaller tracks like that. He said, "These are cheap horses because they got no heart."
Oh, my God.
Well, I've been muting at SOB for the last 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. And,
which one was it?
I'm not going to.
Well, there's numbers,
they're
guys.
Numbers, they don't, guys.
You know, when I used to go to the track with my old friend Billy Sutton, Billy was a elderly gentleman who was John Kennedy's roommate when Kennedy was in Congress. And he was an old Charlestown meter reader. He read the gas meters in Charlestown.
Yeah. Oh,
he
great.
He introduced JFK to the working class Irish. And that's really what won him the election. And Billy took him around to every single house when they were going to read a meter. But anyway, that's for our purposes.
Love it.
That's neither here nor there. But Billy, I remember one day I was at the – I used to pick up Billy on Saturday morning, so we'd go out to Suffolk Downs. And one day, it was a beautiful sunny day. It was like 72 degrees. It was a nice breeze off the bay. You could smell the salt water, and the horses looked great. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. And I'm sitting down on a bench, and I'm looking at the racing form. He comes over, and he kicks the racing form out of my hand. I go, "What's the matter with you?" He goes, "What's the matter with me? Look at this day. Look at how beautiful the sky is. Look at how beautiful the horses are. And you got your nose stuck in that stupid newspaper." He said, "You got 20 bucks?
That was a big Sally van pulling by.
That's great.
Ooh, it wasn't one of those long ones. I didn't think it was ever going to get by.
Yeah, so okay, that's the same deal. I mean, a lot of these people at handicap racing, a lot of them are very smart and very good handicappers. They're
numbers
miss.
People.
You know, it's like they got blinkers on all the time, so the only thing they see are the numbers in the races.
Well,
that kind of stuff. I'd like to introduce that guy to a horse like that horse we rescued up at at River Downs, you know. He was in on the bottom up there, and he was at 7 years old, and pulled up bad. Well, he didn't pull up. He finished.
Yeah,
but he was headed for the
killers,
you know. And he had an ankle as big as a volleyball, right. for God's sakes, you know. And
well, we had Rocky. We had a horse named 50 Ways, and Grubb said it once. There's good cheap horses and there's bad cheap horses. Yeah. And that old Rocky never quit. And we told the guy, he was claimed off of us, said, "When you're done, just let us know. We want him back. Don't put him on a killer truck." And what's his name called us from up there. He was doing stuff, working up there. Anyway, called us and he said, Bernard Dishman.
Yeah.
Bernard called up and said he didn't make the turn. He could not come back and run straight going down the stretch, went to the outside fence. We called that guy and went up and got him.
That's fabulous.
Yeah. And he stayed with us until Mare Reproductive MRLS got him.
Yeah, all those worms. I think
the worms
just
got him.
He when he died,
yeah,
we used to
heart attack.
Be 40. Yeah.
Okay, wait a minute. I've got to pay some bills. Last Saturday, Churchill, the grade one Humana Distaff Stakes, was won by Terrace, a 5-year-old mare by Flatter. At Gulfstream, Sweet Victory, a 3-year-old filly by Blame, won the Honey Rider Stakes. And the day before, at Lone Star, Great Minds, a 5-year-old by Stroll, won the grade three Texas Mile. Terrace, bred by Claiborne Farm and Adele Dillsnyder, was sold for $90,000 as a yearling and then sold again as a 3-year-old for $2,350,000 at the Phasing Tipton November sale. She's won 5 graded stakes and earned over $1 million. Flatter currently ranks 6th on the North American sire list. The Honey Rider was the first start in stakes for Sweet Victory. She has won 3 of her 5 starts with back-to-back wins, bred by William Backer. Sweet Victory is a $285,000 sales grad, and she is one of 15 stakes horses from the first two crops by Eclipse Award winner Blame. Great Minds has won 3 in a row this year, and the Grade 3 Texas Mile is his second straight stakes win. Bred by Claiborne Farm, he's earned about $283,000. A Grade 1 winner by Pulpit Stroll has sired 17% stakes horses lifetime. Flatter, Blame, and Stroll stand at Claiborne Farm. Call Bernie Sams at 859-233-4250. See the website at claibornefarm.com.
It's a pleasure to do business with people you trust.
I know. That might be Sally Van. I might have put that in the wrong
place. You put that in the wrong place.
Here we are.
Because I can...
Oh, shut up and read this one.
It's getting a little sparky over there. I might have to cut his feed.
Ooh.
You know what? You gave me Clay Ward. You didn't.
Wait a minute.
Shut give me up. Hope, Will.
Here you are.
It's a pleasure.
I can do the Clay Ward.
They're just right up the street from each other.
And I'm right across the table from you.
Yeah, well, you have to live with it.
All right. It's always wise to do business with people you trust. Especially when it comes to insurance. We've moved to Bourbon County. Friends, good friends, recommended the Hopewell Company. Oh, my goodness, that was over 30 years ago. and they've been taking care of our insurance needs ever since. Hopewell Company has extensive experience working with horse farms, racing stables. They also cover our barn, home, horse trailer, vehicles, plus liability. They've been right there whenever we needed them, and that's telling you, that's from experience. We got struck by lightning, and they were there. It singed all the wires, and they were there that afternoon. Did a great job. Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. That means they work for us, not the insurance companies. Thus, they're able to offer the best coverage and most competitive prices from financially sound, reputable insurers. Contact Hopewell Company. They will give you a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. Hopewell Company, founded in 1955 by Joe McLean at 820 South Main Street in Paris, 987-2347, or they've got a Lexington number, 254-2431. You get great service. We guarantee it.
Well, here are a couple of names to remember if you're in the horse business. The Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek, both of them located down in Paris, Kentucky. Now, the Clay Ward Agency was founded back in 1931 by Mr. James Clay Ward. That was the year 20 grand won the Kentucky Derby. Sweepall was second and Mate ran third. Incidentally, that was the 11th and last year that the Preakness was run before the Kentucky Derby. Mate had won the Preakness going into the Derby. Well, come right in. Wind just blew the door open. Okay. Is it raining out there still?
Yep.
Oh, I'll be damned. Okay, well, anyway, that success at the Clay Ward, the Clay Ward Agency was, that was based on hard work, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business, and those qualities are carried on today by the folks over there. That would be Shaq Parrish and Bruce Isaacs and John S. Nice guys to do business with. They're very professional. And they are in a position to give you the best coverage at the best price available if you're in the horse business. So I would suggest that you call them. Number over there is 987-1861, 859 number, 987-1861. Just remember the year the Civil War started, and you got it down. And also, you can ask them about the services available at Indian Creek Farm. That's a farm where many major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. They raised, board, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Great place to board your horses. And if you're going to sell, that's a great place for them to be agent for you. They know what they're doing. What you need to call there is go to their website and talk to either Shaq or Nikki Dryon. Then go to their website at it's IndianCreekKY.com. IndianCreekKY.com.
Now, back to the Thoroughbred Training Center in Ursel Ellis.
All righty. You over there reading what?
I'm reading about the Man of War, one of my favorite races.
Yeah, the Man of War, they run that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mile and 3/8.
Is it tomorrow or today?
Mile and 3/8, it's today.
Yeah, today.
Yeah. On the grass. Of course, Man of War never ran on the grass. He did run a mile and 3/8, though. Set a world record in going a mile and 3/8. And... because the Belmont was a mile and 3/8 at that time.
There you go.
Yeah, and they're running a 5-furlong race at Riverdale.
That's one of my favorite races.
Why?
Of all.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be a sucker and ask
it
why.
It used to be in the fall at Belmont.
Okay.
And, you know, they ran the Turf Classic, I think the Hill Prince and the Man of War as their fall classic turf route races all fall. And I think because there were no spring races carded at Belmont long on the grass, they moved it.
Ah.
And I think that this is the first year it's been in the spring.
So it's 3-year-olds and up?
Mm-hmm. Mile 3/8.
I think it's 4 and up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that would make more sense, 4 and up, because...
Yeah, 4 and up.
It's that long, and it's early in the season.
$400,000 pop.
Ooh, that'll
do. Well, the other reason I like it a lot, too, is Sunshine Forever used to win it. He won it.
Ah.
And he won those three grade one stakes races, or three stakes races in 6 weeks.
Whoa.
Going a mile, Sunshine Forever.
Wow.
Miles going a
don't you
mile,
remember mile Sunshine eight? Forever? He sold us a share in the
horse. Yeah, I know.
Told us he was going to stud.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, those were the days I was hard up. I had to lie. I'm not so hard up anymore, so I try to tell the truth a little more often.
You did
often.
It real well.
I hadn't noticed a difference, tell you the truth.
Very nice.
Well, tell us about
party?
Oh, we had a great time. We had our big fundraiser Sunday after the Derby, our homecoming. And people were so generous with their donations, and Tom and Curtis came over and did the auction for our live auction stuff, and we netted, I think, $31,000.
Wow. That's
really great. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because all of our here comes Dr. Waldridge. All of our good.
I'm so glad he's here.
We've cut down our expenses, and Red Brand is one of our sponsors, and they take care of a lot of the expenses. So almost all the money that people donated, it goes directly to the farm. So that
Come on
was
in, Doc.
Yay.
Want to buy a raincoat?
Here's Dr. Waldridge.
I found mine somewhere.
Nice hat.
Oh, thank you.
He's wearing a Red Sox cap, big poppy hat. They lost to the Astros last night by one run. They blew a 5-1 lead.
We gave up on the Reds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lord. Man, they can't beat a drum. You know, I mean, it's terrible. It's their relief pitching, isn't it, Ressie? You know, I could do better.
Now, there's an idea.
Well, it's a bad one, but anyway. So, how are you doing, Doc?
Oh, pretty busy, but good. How about you?
I'm still above ground.
Maybe Dr. Waldridge could tell us a little bit more about Willenda.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's Dr. Brian Waldridge from Park. How are you this morning again?
Oh, doing good. It's been a busy morning already.
What? Oh, what have you done this morning?
Oh, folding out mares and getting them all looked at. Looking at a horse out here, too, so been busy.
Got one out here?
Yes.
You don't have one in training out here, do you?
Oh, not anymore, but I'm going to look at one.
Uh-oh.
That's getting one. Ready to go out in the wind and the rain, I guess.
Well, if you're going out this morning, you're going out in the wind and the rain, yes. I'll tell you that. Well, tell me something then.
About Willenda, you know, just when we looked at all that he had, it was amazing. We got the report back on him that, you know, his phalanges, the bottom bones of his foot were fused. And, you know, just the tendon changes and all. And, you know, I think he just, everything, what he had to hold his foot together finally let go on us. And he was still pretty comfortable, but you could tell he wasn't happy anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it was just time for him, but it was just a...
You could be describing me.
Well, me too.
Yeah, but Willenda didn't complain so much. What caused those what caused those bones to fuse?
Well, just chronic arthritis, you know, that he had. Because, like, that's part of my problem. I've got some fused bones, but, you know, eventually when the cartilage goes away, those bones will fuse. So that's what had happened. And
is that what happens in arthritis? Is that
part of
it?
If you lose cartilage, the bone will start to fuse together.
Oh, just to stabilize itself.
Yeah, it just kind of tries to stick itself down, and
yeah,
as a healing thing. And so he had actually the thing. If you took an X-ray of Willenda's foot, you know, most horses you'll see those bottom three bones are in a straight line. In him, his foot was like a cat. Where, you know, it was you know, where, you know, a cat's toe curls up. That's almost exactly how his was. I mean, he was an amazingly tough horse, and he did so good. You know, it was just amazing.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie to you. I never noticed how a cat's toes up.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
But anyway,
Joe Palmer didn't write about cats.
Okay.
But that's the closest way I know to describe how his foot was aligned, was like a cat. Yeah. And it just.
Well, how long were you able to keep him together? How long did you stay there, Mike? Only you remember that. You
about 7 years.
7 years.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's amazing. Dr. Fraley and Barry and all the guys that work with them. I mean, it's just amazing. You know what they can do. I mean, they gave him a great quality of life. You know, he was a happy horse right up to the last day. You know, he try and bite you every time I'd go to look at him, and he's a beautiful horse. He's an amazingly pretty horse,
mm-hmm.
And you know he did really well, and I think
he was a pretty good racehorse too.
He was, and you know I think he just
what all did he win, Michael?
Well, his big race was he won a 4 or 5 horse photo in the Super Derby.
Mm-hmm.
That was his big race. I think he was 7-2 going into the Kentucky Derby. Finished 4th, I think. But Frank Alexander, as I mentioned, his trainer said if he'd have paid just a little bit more attention to being a horse, being a racehorse, instead of trying to fight you on it all the time, he said he would have been a super horse.
Yeah.
But he tried hard, and as you say, he had a lot of heart and he had a lot of brains, and he certainly had determination. And really, ironically, what prevented him probably from being a great racehorse is what kept him alive all these years. Because he just had this iron will, and it's my way or the highway, to quote Dr. Byers. And I think that's what kept him going all these years, putting up with all this stuff. But he was something, and he had tremendous brains. I mean, he was a very intelligent animal.
All right, let me do some commercials here, would you?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead. Be my guest.
All right,
Jackie. I hope they're good.
You're up next, Jackie.
He wrote them.
Oh, what do you mean I wrote them? I did write them, but anyway, come over here. I'm going to give it
away. This one looks like you wrote it with a quill pen. How old is that one?
No, I typed that one.
Okay, just check it.
That's an electric typewriter. I moved up to that. You know, I cried crocodile tears when my old Royal Manual died, you know, and I had to go to, couldn't find an old manual, you know.
You can't get a ribbon. You can't get a ribbon for a typewriter.
No, I know.
They can't wear it.
He's got one.
I do have one.
Is it for sale?
I have one. I have Diane's typewriter. She's at the...
Did she use one of those too?
The Royal, yes.
But you know, you can use a manual typewriter or even an electric typewriter and think. You can't do that on a computer.
Well, we could have a long debate, but I know you have to do your commercials.
Yeah, I just do not debate you.
Some people can think and use a computer.
Excuse me. Miss and Mass aside, 8 Grade 1 winners. The winners of 3 Breeders' Cup Stakes, a champion 2-year-old filly, a classic winning filly. And his progeny is noted for their versatility. He has sired Grade 1 winners at distances from 6 to 10 furlongs and major stakes winners over every conceivable type of racing service. 3 of his 7 2016 stakes winners have won graded stakes. Sea Defense's Grade 1 win boosted his earnings to over $1 million. He's the third $1 million earner by Mizzen Mass. Paulina's Love won the Grade 2 Buena Vista at Santa Anita. And Stonetastic, the Grade 2 Inside Information Stakes at Gulfstream. Stonetastic has brilliant speed. She's a catch-me-if-you-can runner. She's won a place in 10 stakes. Last week at Churchill, she was a front-running second in the Grade 1 Humana Distaff, going 7 furlongs. Been 6 furlongs, she probably would have won it. Mizzen Mass, 9th Grade 1 winner. If she had won that one, incidentally, she's earned over $687,000. Now, Mrs. Mass has done about all you could ask for in a sire, and he stands at Judmont Farm for $12,500 live foal. Call Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry at 859-272-7629 and see the website judmont.com.
Down through the years, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack have walked into a Sally van. As a matter of fact, a Sally van just pulled out of here. The thing was about the size of the Queen Mary. Anyway, horses on their way to win a Derby or a Breeders' Cup, and yes, to a Triple Crown. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or the country. Sally vans are always in tip-top shape. Person behind the wheel is an experienced driver and an experienced horseman. And that, most importantly, is a winning combination. Folks at Sally Van wouldn't have it any other way. That's why for more than 6 decades, a Sally Van has been the safest way to the winner's circle. So give them a call, 255-9406, and see the website, sallyvans.com, and enjoy the ride.
Well, Distorted Human was represented by 2 more stakes winners just last weekend, both of them at Belmont. On Saturday, the 5-year-old Aronicus won the Grade 3 Fort Marcy. The next day, Joking won the $100,000 Diablo Stakes. The Fort Marcy was the first start of the year for Aronicus after concluding the 2015 season with a win in the Grade 2 Bernard Baruch at Saratoga. Earlier, he won the Grade 2 Dixie, and he's earned over $663,000. The Durable Joking has accumulated earnings of nearly $500,000, and he has been on the board in 27 of his 37 starts. Distorted Humor has topped the North American sire list. He sired the winners of all 3 Triple Crown races. He sired more than 120 stakes winners, among them 17 Grade 1 winners. In another stakes last weekend, the Grade 2 Vigil Stakes at Woodbine went to Passion for Action, a 4-year-old colt by Sprightstown. Passion for Action won the Jacques Cartier Stakes at Woodbine in his previous start, plus the Rich Cup and Saucer Stakes. He's earned more than $455,000. Sprightstown is ranked among the top 10 on the North American side list for six consecutive years. Winner of the Eclipse Award as champion sprinter. He is also side of the winners of such tests of stamina as the Jockey Club Gold Cup and the Travers. The starter human spites down. Both stand at Windstar Farm. In for is to Kyle Wilson, Sean Tugler, Carl, and Walsh at 859-873-1717. See the website, windstarfarm.com.
Now, back to Horsetails with Ursel Ellis.
Where are you headed now, Doc?
Over to one of the big barns. Next stop.
Oh, you got a horse to look at over to Big Barn? Okay. Horse and training, obviously. Okay. All right, well, we'll let you.
What about a little discussion of buttercups, which we seem to be everywhere?
Oh, the weeds, those yellow weeds that we call
them. They'll make them slobber is mostly what they'll do.
Is that right?
Is make them slobber. The horses usually won't eat them unless there's nothing else to eat.
Right.
They're bad for them, though, isn't it? I've heard that they were really bad for horses.
Yeah, they have that toxin's an irritant, usually, that makes them slobber. But
well, I can slobber. You know.
We've noticed.
Well, I try not to drool on my microphone. Go ahead.
I say slobber, and yeah, sometimes you hear about weight loss and things like that, but usually if a horse... The thing about toxic plants are, for the most part, if a horse has something else to eat, they're not going to eat those toxic plants. So that may be someone that have weight loss, maybe because they don't have anything else to eat, and that's why they eat the buttercups.
Yeah, we've got a couple of patches of them on the farm, just not big, but, you know, I hate to see them coming. Both of them, I think, Jackie, wasn't it where we hay during the winter, maybe? Yeah. No?
Yes.
Yes, you said. Okay. But anyway.
Do you have a topic for us today?
I've seen three cases of botulism. So botulism might be a good one.
Yeah, tell us.
I've seen botulism in a foal and two adults, and then the two adults, they also had another horse on the farm that died of botulism. So,
you know, not the same farm?
Three on the same farm, and then the foal was a different farm.
Oh, okay.
So the foal had people called botulism foals shaker foals because they're weak.
Yeah.
So the legs will shake, and I wanted to video the foal, but every time I tried to get to my camera, it was weak, so I'd lay down before I could get a good video of the leg shaking. But, you know, foal came in, and it was just flat out. Because what botulism does is it blocks the nerve going to the muscle. It releases a thing called acetylcholine that tells the muscle to contract, and it stops that from being released. So that's why there's weakness. So there's nothing to tell the muscle contract. So we had to carry the foal off the van and treated it, and it was able to walk back out. But there's an antitoxin that you can give, and so it binds those toxins that cause the problem. But once those toxins have gone to the nerve, you can't do anything about that. But it'll bind at least what's in circulation. And then the body has to regrow those receptors again. It takes about 3 weeks for that to get fully back.
Yeah, you can rescue them all.
Oh, you can. You know, foals have a little bit better prognosis than adults, but if you get an adult horse that lays down and can't get back up, that's a pretty poor prognosis to get those back.
Okay, explain botulism and how you get it.
Well, there's three ways you get it. In foals, they usually eat the spores. That bacteria makes a spore, or they get the bacteria themselves, and so it can set up and grow in their gut even, and then that'll release the toxin that causes the problem. And then in adults, you usually either get what people call forage poisoning, where there's a dead animal in the hay or whatever, and usually it's round bells, but can be anything. Or where one of the guys that's done a lot of the research on botulism, he's found that probably where they get it is, because botulism's in the soil, it's in the horse's manure, it's everywhere. As in the wintertime, when they kind of walk around and tramp the hay into the ground, then go back and pick at it, then they're picking up the toxin. An adult horse, they eat the toxin. And then there's been some rare cases, not many, where they call wound botulism, like castrations and things like that, where they get botulism in there. And then it releases the toxin, causes problems.
So botulism is a bacteria?
It's a bacteria, and then it releases the toxin, botulinum toxin, and then that's what causes the problems.
Okay.
And there's a vaccine. Well, there's a vaccine against type B. There's several different types of botulism, but type B is the most common, especially in Kentucky. So there's a vaccine that you can give, and it's a three-dose booster, or three doses, then a yearly booster.
You all have a toxin for everything.
Well, I wish we had it for everything. There's a couple diseases I'd like to have.
Do you ever see this much at once? Or is it kind of...
You know, it's a 2 or 3 case a year thing, but it's kind of rare to see 3 on the same farm. But then there's a couple years ago, and it was a big embryo transfer farm, and I think they lost hundreds, if I remember right, of mares because they had some bad hay and round bales. As I remember, they lost about 200 mares on that.
Yeah, you know, round bales, like out in California, where it's dry, they don't have as much trouble as you do here, where it's wet.
Yeah, botulism is kind of a regional disease. You know, it's more kind of East Coast, Kentucky, and Florida.
Do you think our wet spring has anything might to do with it?
I think it's probably just bad luck. Yeah. Just something bad in the hay. You know, if the hay doesn't cure properly and has some wet to it, then that gives a spot. Because botulism doesn't like air. It can't grow in air. It's a weird bacteria. So if you have a spot in there where it decays, and then there's pH, because you have like silage, you hear about it in feed silage to horses, they'll sometimes get botulism. So you got to have no air and the right pH and the right conditions, and it can get going.
Yeah, interesting. I worked on a farm one time, a big farm, and they had gotten in a load of hay and put it in the barn. And when I drove in, the barn was smoking.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't dried sufficiently. And, man, they were down there throwing that stuff out the windows, you know, because it was going to combust.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. You put it up wet, you know, it can get really hot in there.
Yeah, that's what this did.
And that's what happens. The other thing, when we used to take core samples with of hay, you know, it's a big, long tube. You put it on a drill, and you drill out a big core sample.
Yeah.
We always left those outside the barn, too, because that got the bale hot. It wouldn't burn the barn down.
Yeah,
you put it back in. But,
oh, funny.
But, yeah, you'll see those bales steaming, you know, just like muckle
just
steam.
Yeah, smoking. Yeah.
All righty. Well, 17% of DeHarris starters want to place in stakes. 13% of its foals that want to place in stakes. That's a rock-solid record. You begin by signing the brilliant filly Gypsy Robin in his first crop. She won 5 stakes, including a pair of graded stakes right out here at Keeneland. Ran second in the Grade 1 test at Saratoga, and she earned right at $600,000. And he's sent stakes horses to the races every year since. In 2016, Close Fall Off, another outstanding filly by DeHarris, won the $125,000 correction at New York. She'd won that already. Set a new track record at Aqueduct this year. And she'd been second in the Grade 2 Barbara Fritchie Stakes for at law. She's earned more than $366,000. And another filly, Taquiz by DeHarris, ran second in the $100,000 Sakata Stakes at Aqueduct. So if ever a horse was bred to sire runners, it's DeHarris. And his starters have earned an average of right at $70,000. DeHarris won Grade 1 stakes. He's by the elite sire Awesome Again. His half-sister is the multiple Grade 1 winner Spun Sugar, and he stands at Shadwell Farm. Call Stallion manager Kent Barnes at 859-224-4585 and see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
Quillen Leather and Tack, absolutely number one leather and tack shop. Quality and service in leather goods since 1982. It's the nation's largest custom halter shop. Ships over 20,000 halters a year worldwide. Any place anybody raises thoroughbreds, they probably buy their halters from Quillen Leather and Tack. Especially Japan. I think he ships out tons of stuff to Japan, seems to me. Anyway, they've got every possible kind of halter. Show halters, racetrack halters, mare halters, foals, weanlings, you name it, they got it. Now they're in, and they've got all kind of others. Anything leather, they've got. If you want to see what they got in the shop, go to Quillen.com, Quillin.com, and don't forget Rooster Brew downtown, Ralph's wonderful beer joint. He's got all kind of beer. And
I saw Ralph the other night. He was slumming over in Georgetown.
Oh, my.
He went to his local restaurant called Local Feed, which is a very good restaurant, actually. And
Local Feed?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, where is it?
It's very good. It's right down on Water Street.
Oh, okay.
In an old building. They did a beautiful job, and the food's terrific. And obviously, the company's good because Ralph showed up with a coterie of his pals.
Wow. Anyway, Ralph is open Thursday, Friday, Saturday evening. Go in there and check out 100 bottles of beer on the wall.
All right. Well, congratulations to Redham Racing. Trainer Doug O'Neill and new breeder Summerhill Farm for the victory of Nyquist in the 142nd Kentucky Derby. Nyquist, with that dominating win, has answered the question. Yes, sirree, Uncle Mo can sire the classic winning three-year-old. Uncle Mo, last year's champion freshman sire and leading sire of two-year-olds, has moved past Tappet to rank number one on the North American sire list with but one crop of foals to race a full season. Icing on the cake, the same day that Nyquist won the Roses, Abiding Star, another three-year-old by Uncle Mo, became his 13th first crop stakes winner when he won the $100,000 Parks Derby. In other stakes last Saturday, the Grade 2 Churchill Downs Stakes was won by Catalina Red, a colt from the first crop by Munnings, this following the win by King Krantz, a three-year-old by Munnings, in the Gold Fever Stakes at Belmont, and at Santa Anita, Mr. Opportunist, a three-year-old colt by Taylor the Cat, won the Desert Code Stakes. Munnings, the nation's leading second crop sire in 2015, Taylor the Cat, a champion sire in his own right, and champion sire Uncle Mo, all three standard Ashford stud, where developing champion sires is a tradition. Call the farm at 859-873-7088 and see the website at coolmore.com.
You're listening to Horse Tales with Ursula Lele.
All righty. Let me see what we're doing here right now. Michael, you got anything to say, or you?
No, I'm going to leave, actually.
Well, you got in your hand there.
The latest issue of North American Trainer magazine.
Oh, okay.
Available here in the HBPA office for those qualified to read it.
End of that. Isn't that awful?
Coming up?
What a snob. Huh? Isn't that something?
Okay. Well, we got what's coming up? Well, the Lewises are coming to visit Silver Charm this coming week, so that'll be really nice. And of course, there's, you know, the Preakness is a week from today, so that'll be fun. I'm not going this year, unfortunately. Last year we went and we had a great time, but this year it's going to be too busy at the farm.
Yeah, true.
With visitors and things, so I have to skip that. But I'm trying to figure out some way I can slide up to the Belmont.
Oh, nice.
I'm planning ahead.
Yeah. Do you think we're going to have another Triple Crown winner this year?
No, I don't. But it's not because he's not the best horse.
Yeah.
Well, a couple of them are skipping the Preakness.
Yeah. Well, you know, ever since Sarava beat Warren in the Belmont, it paid $142.50.
He had to bring up his Belmont winner at Old Friends.
Well, we have our own Triple Crown. We have our own Triple Crown. So we have the Triple Crown from 97 and 2002. Now, if you read your history books, you'll say there's no Triple Crown. But our version of the Triple Crown is you just have to have the horses. So we have the 97 Derby and Preakness winner, Silver Charm, and in the next paddock, we have Touch Gold, who beat him in the Belmont, and then we have War Emblem, who won the Derby and the Preakness, and we have Sarava, so that's our Triple Crown, 2002. So we have two Triple Crowns, 1997 and 2002, and not only that, we've designed a fabulous poster with all four horses, and it's Old Friends. I'll bring one next week,
yeah,
and you can have it. I'll bring one next week.
Yeah.
You don't want to get too excited all at once. You know, having Dr. Waldrich here, you know, it's just the poster would have sent you over the top.
I think I'd hold it together.
That's very good to know.
All right, Michael.
But so next Saturday we can talk about the Preakness and other adventures.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'd like to just personally thank Dr. Walters for all his help, especially with Willenda this week. So
yeah. Well, I'm sorry you lost him, but you gave him 7 years. That's fantastic, you know. Yeah. Well, he was 27 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
26 or 27.
That's old anyway for a healthy horse.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. Well, he's missed, and people came by and put flowers on his stall, and it's been very touching, actually. Very nice.
Yeah. Well, all right, Michael.
More than they're going to do for me, for sure.
Amen. Well, May 6th at Churchill Downs, the Grade 2 $200,000 Eight Bell Stakes was won by Karina Mia, a three-year-old filly by Malibu Moon. Karina Mia, winner at two of the Grade 2 Golden Ride Stakes at Churchill, was bred by Spendthrift. She's a $410,000 graduate of the September sales at Keeneland. Owned by Three Chimneys Farm, trained by Bill Mott. Malibu Moon, a top 10 sire again this year, currently ranks fourth. Sire of more than 90 stakes winners, among them a Kentucky Derby winner, a champion two-year-old, classic winning fillies, and 9 grade one winners. He stands at Spendthrift Farm, $95,000 due in a full stands in nursing. Spendthrift Farm, That's the Breeders' Farm. They offer breeder stallions with a wide variety of bloodlines. Many couple with the extremely popular breed Secure and Share the Upside program. So if you have a late foaling mare, call Des Dempsey or Brian Lyle or Mark Toothacker, and they'll be happy to work with you to provide the stallion best suited for your mare and your pocketbook. The number is 859-294-0030. For more on the Spencer stallions, go to the website SpencerFarms.com. Here's a couple of products I believe in. In fact, I take one of them myself, Lubricin. I just take that stuff. It greases my joints up. I jump out of bed every morning, hit the ground running. Well, that's a little exaggeration, but it gets me out of bed in the morning anyway. But anyway, both those products were developed by Dr. Steve Alday, one of the nation's top veterinarians, and both of them endorsed by many owners and trainers and vets. And both, incidentally, are all natural. You don't have to worry about the spit box. Just take it. The Lubricin, to put it simply, sustains the integrity of the joint fluid and helps reduce the cost of, acid ingestions and those kind of things. Trainers that use Lubricin include Todd Pletcher and Tony Dutrow and Jerry Hollendorfer, Mike Maker, and that's just to mention a few of them. They also have it for humans, like I say, and I use it, and it really does work. Jackie uses it, too, so afraid to stop it, you know.
Took it this morning.
Yeah, me, too.
Yeah.
A big tablespoonful. Tastes pretty good, too.
Yeah, it's not bad. He always takes it, and we leave a tablespoon out, and then I take it.
I rinse it off. Well, anyway.
Well, I spray it with Clorox.
Good God, Gertrude. Okay. Come on in. This is
that your guest?
Yeah.
Come in. Okay.
Yeah, Mr. Hinkle is here. Come on in. Sit down, Tom. We'll be right with you. Reborn is 100% sterile, whole concentrated natural bovine colostrum. It's safe. It's easy to use as a dietary supplement for horses of all ages, starting with foals, strengthens the foal's immune system. And while I was nursing on a mare, so because of its high concentration of growth factors, if I can say it, and antibodies, and actually it supports immune functions in horses of all ages, it provides a quicker recovery to physical changes because of the maximum efficiency. That's Reborn. And here's how you get these two products. You can go to Lubricin.com and learn more about it, Lubricin.com, or Reborn.com, Reborne.com. Or you can go by the KBC in Lexington or Horse Sense down in Versailles and buy those two products. Great products. And anyway, that's two products that I happen to use. And actually, I don't take the one, but I do take the Lubricin. Well, last week at Sunland, Ed Harrow, a 3-year-old filly by Cowboy Cow, bred and owned by Winslow Thoroughbreds, shipped in to win the $65,000 El Paso Stakes. Ed Harrow won her first start at 2 last year, won by 6 3/4 lengths at Churchill, then came right back and ran second in the $100,000 debutante, also at Churchill. She's one of 7 2016 stakes horses, 3 of them stakes winners by Cowboy Cow. Another 3-year-old filly by Cowboy Cow, Marquis Miss, has won $200,000 stakes at Oaklawn this year, the Dixie Belle and the Martha Washington. She's placed in the Grade 3 Bourbonette, and she won the Arlington Washington Lassie in 2015. Vigorous Titan, a colt by Cowboy Cow, won the 2016 running the Colonel Power Stakes at the Fairgrounds. Cowboy Cow's 2016 stakes place runners are Simple Surprise at Oaklawn. He won the Boat and Landing Stakes at Saratoga last year. Fear of the Cowboy, stakes place at Delta Downs, and winner of the stakes at Gulfstream last year. Six Spot, placed in stakes at Turfway. In 2015, he placed in stakes at Pimlico and Turfway. And Blue Ribbon Girl is stakes placed in a pair of stakes this year at Delta Downs. Cowboy Cow, the nation's third crop sire in 2015, and a multiple graded stakes winner and millionaire, is by Giants Causeway. He's siring hard-hitting stakes horses for $5,000 to win the full stands of nursing. Stands at Pin Oak. Call Clifford Berry and Nancy Stevens at 859-873-1420 and see the website, pinoakstud.com.
Now, back to the Thoroughbred Training Center in Ursulelis.
All right, I've got Tom Hinkle here with me this morning from Hinkle Farms over in good old Bourbon County. Excuse me. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Ursel. How are you today?
I'm doing great, but I'm not doing as good as you are.
Well, thank you. We've been very fortunate as of late.
Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm telling. How to pronounce this horse is
Divisadero.
Divisadero.
Divisadero, and I'm not sure if he was named for this, but there's a street, I believe, in San Francisco called Divisadero Street.
Ah,
is that right? I've spent some time in San Francisco, but that's been a long time ago.
Divides the city in half.
That might have been before they built a whole lot of streets.
Well, before it was real hilly, he was there.
Somebody need to confirm that, but I believe that's right.
Okay. All right, well, whatever, he's a runner. Anyway, you all bred him. He won the Grade 1 $500,000 Woodford Reserve Classic, and then that was the 11th race, and then the 12th race was the Kentucky Derby, and, of course, Nyquist won it. And you happen to have a connection with that. What's your connection with Nyquist?
Well, we own the dam of Nyquist, Seeking Gabrielle.
Can I touch you?
Well, I've been pinching myself ever since to see if I'm going to wake up from a dream, but it was quite a thrill, and we bought Seeking Gabrielle when Nyquist was a weanling. They sold at Keeneland through Paramount Sales, and they sold back-to-back, and fortunately, Nyquist sold the hip number before Seeking Gabrielle, so we got to, obviously we had seen him. He was just a lovely weanling, just a lot of presence, and just a really, really nice weanling, and really nice first foal, too. And so we obviously got the chance to see him, got to see him sell.
What did he bring? Do you remember?
He brought $180,000.
Mm-hmm.
He was from the first crop of Uncle Moa, and you know, that was a lot of money for first crop stallion. Mm-hmm. And first foal out of a mare who was a winner, but you know, frankly, she didn't have a lot of racing class.
Yeah,
she did win. She was an attractive mare, but she sure had a nice foal.
Yeah.
And so we saw him, and he went through the ring and sold well, and we liked the pedigree. Good solid pedigree. She's by Forestry, son of Stormcat, and you know, acquiring Stormcat mares is not easy.
Yeah.
So
we went a generation removed.
Went a generation removed, and were able to buy her for $100,000 in foal to blame, which was another thing that attracted us to the mare, because
yeah,
we were looking at almost all the mares in foal to blame.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Well, who'd you breed her to this year?
Well, she had on March the 25th, she had a colt by Flatter. Really nice foal. And
boy, you picked a good year to be breeding a Flatter.
Well, Flatter's a good stallion, and I think Claiborne's done a great job with him.
He's sixth on the sire list.
I know. Yeah.
You can't touch Bernie Sams over there. That was the first horse that Bernie syndicated when he went to work for Claiborne. You know, he's up pretty near as high as you are, I guess.
Well, we got a really nice colt by Flatter, and we decided last fall after Nyquist won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and it was obvious he was going to be the champion, we decided to swing for the fences a little bit, and we were able to breed her this spring to Warfront. And
okay.
So she's been bred to Warfront, and has been checked once in foal, and so we're knocking on wood, hoping that all things continue to go well.
Let me get this straight. Now, you got a blame, a Flatter, and now you're going to Warfront.
Well,
I think you're saving money because you don't have to van too far to get to Claiborne.
Well, she was in foal to blame when we bought her.
Yeah, right.
And okay. we got the blame out of her. She was in foal on a late May cover. We bred her one time to Curlin, and she didn't catch.
Okay.
And then, so we got an early start on her the next year, and that's when we got to Flatter. And, so now we're, you know, back in foal to Warfront and keeping her fingers
crossed. What does his Flatter colt look like?
He's a nice leggy colt. He's got legs, scope,
He's correct. He's got a great attitude. He's a chestnut, and we're really fortunate that he's turning out as well as he has, and hopefully all things will.
Well, Tom, you're going to sell him as a weanling or as a yearling?
Well, normally we sell all of our most of our foals that we breed as yearlings.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to we really haven't decided what we're going to do if we'll wait and sell him as a yearling, or we might consider selling him as a weanling.
I'd be afraid to hang on to it.
And if he's really, really, really good looking at the end of his, you know, when he's a weanling, you just about think,
so eliminate the risk.
But he certainly will be. He'll be sold whether it's as a weanling or whether it's as a yearling. We will. Mm-hmm. He will be sold, and we're just we're going to cross that bridge as to which sale he goes into a little closer to August 1st.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo! What a decision.
I tell you what.
Yeah, I don't like kind of stuff. You keep you up nights.
Well,
worried about that.
I guess you all have been kind of rooting for Nyquist for quite a while now. He never let you down, has he?
No. Like I said, you know, we saw him as a weanling, saw him as a yearling. He had progressed nicely. Mike Ryan and now Brennan bought him as a yearling to pinhook back in the two-year-old sale. And, you know, he was getting great reports about how he was training. And, you know, last summer, after he broke his maiden, I ran into Mike, was talking to him, and he told me this is a really, really good horse. And
well, how many of his races have you seen?
Live?
Yeah.
Or live, I've seen, I've just seen two. I saw the Breeders' Cup Juvenile at Keeneland, and I saw the Derby. But I've watched them.
You don't want to cross that river, do you?
I've watched the rest of them on DVG or I've watched the replays of most of them several times.
I bet you. That must have been a thrill to see that horse win the Derby. You know, I mean, that had to be unreal.
Were you down in the wind picture?
No, we were not. For either race, and that, you know, Derby Day is a hectic day.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people, a lot going on. My brother Henry and my daughter Ann Archer and my son Spears, Ann Archer and Henry are active in the farm management with me, and we work closely together. But we went down to Churchill the Tuesday before the Derby and got to see Divisadero at Buff Bradley's barn, and went by barn 41 at the O'Neill stable, and got to see Nyquist, got to see him train that morning. And Doug O'Neill and his team couldn't have been any nicer.
They are nice people, aren't
they? Yeah, they're really nice people, and so we got to see him that day. It was a little busy that day, but that was kind of the day before it really gets hectic.
Yeah.
So we saw him then, and I actually ran into Doug on Oaks Day in the grandstand, and he was about as relaxed and cool as anybody I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
And I know his brother Dennis a little bit, and I saw Dennis up there too, and they must have been pretty confident. Really nice people, and they've done just a great job with that horse, and frankly everybody that's been involved with that horse has done a great job with him.
That mare is just 9 years old. I mean, she's a young mare.
She's a young mare, and she had been bred once before she was bred to Uncle Mo. I believe she was bred to Unbridled Song, didn't catch, and then bred to Uncle Mo, and Summerhill Farm bred Uncle Mo. That's Tim Hyde Jr. and Paul Shanahan.
Yeah. His farm's, Summerhill is located abroad, isn't it? In Ireland, is it?
Well, they're from Ireland, but I'm not sure if they actually
they may have a farm here, but they're associated with Coolmore.
That's where it was foaled.
So that just may be Summerhill. Just may be a name that they breed under.
No, I think he's got a farm.
They do have a farm. I mean, Tim Hyde Jr.'s father's one of the finest judges of horse flesh that's ever lived.
I read somewhere that it was in Ireland.
Yeah. But obviously Nyquist was never in Ireland.
No.
And he's just a really, obviously he's a special horse, but I think he's so calm and low-keyed in the barn, I'm sure that just rubs off on
That's Doug a big thing. That's the thing American Pharoah had going for him. He had the same kind of temperament.
Well, he's got a great temperament, and he's glad to see when you know, I've seen him a couple of times in the barn, once at Keeneland and once at Churchill, and he just sticks his head out and glad to see you.
Yeah.
And he's a special horse, and my hat's off to Doug O'Neill and his team because they've really handled him incredibly well.
Now, DeVezadero is out of a young mare, too.
He's out of a lemon drop kid mare named Madame Dulac. Madame Dulac, I believe, is 11. And we bought her from the Ramsey farm, carrying DeVezadero. Obviously, the Ramsey breed a lot of mares to Kitten's Joy, and we were interested in acquiring a mare and foal to Kitten's Joy, and we bid on several that year, and we were fortunate enough to be able to acquire her. She had a two-year-old at the time that was running in New York that showed some promise. I believe his name was Kitten's Kid.
Yeah.
And he ended up he placed in the Pilgrim, which I believe is a grade 3.
That's right.
At Aqueduct.
I'm cheating here. I'm looking at it.
And and that was her first foal to race, I believe. Yeah. And she'd already proven she could get a quality horse. Because anytime you can place in a graded stake in New York, you've done something.
Yeah.
Bred and foaled and raised a DeVezadero at our farm and sold him as a yearling. And he was one of those yearlings that, as we were prepping him, the closer we got to the sale, I mean, he just kept improving and kept improving. And, you'd like to see that. You could push him in the feed tub, push him to fit him up for the sale, and he just thrived on it.
Yeah.
And so we were fortunate that he sold well as a yearling, and
he's won close to $700,000.
Yeah,
that's not his first graded stakes win. His first grade one win.
It was his first grade. He won the American Turf on Derby Day as a 3-year-old.
Okay.
He made his first start as a 3-year-old down at Gulfstream Park, and he went off at big odds and came from out of the clouds to win. I mean, he showed an incredible turn of foot, and then he ran back a few weeks later in the Palm Beach, which was a graded stake at Gulfstream, and had a very troubled trip, and he appeared to be much the best that day, and just he had a little trouble and couldn't quite get through. And then he ran back in the American Turf and was very, very impressive. Then he ran in the his next start was the Pennine Ridge, which was right at the end of May, 1st of June at Belmont, and he was quite impressive there. I believe he set a track record that day. And that was a prep for the Belmont Derby.
Yeah.
He ran in the Belmont Derby. He's a horse that needs that comes from off the pace, and there really just wasn't much pace that day. And he was really running at the end, but it had been slow on the front end, and he was running as fast as the horses on the lead, but they weren't backing up.
Yeah.
And and then the connections
Gunpowder Farm and Buff Bradley, I think they made a really wise decision. They backed off of him, turned him out, gave him some time to grow, and then brought him back slowly. And I think that was, that was the right thing to do, and just goes to show that giving horses a little time sometimes is the thing
exactly.
to do.
Yeah. I see you've got a...
Can I interject? I looked up Divisadero. It is a street in San Francisco, and I thought it was meant divide because it divides the north part of San Francisco, but it means, the Spanish word means look out, you can see far, and it's up on a hill. I just thought I'd throw that in there.
Well, thank you.
I just trying to earn
sure
my
I was pretty sure it was a street in San Francisco, but I didn't know exactly what it meant.
There you
my
go.
Man over here says I got to take a break. Be right back with you. I want to ask you a couple of more things over there, if I can find my notes here. There we go. Only two stands that stood in North America have sired as many as 15 stakes winners a year for four straight years. One of them is Go Zapper, with such runners as Paula Silver Lining, who recently won the Grade 3 Distaff, and Go Maggie Go won this year's renewal of the Grade 2 Gulfstream Park Oaks. Going Farm is a good bet to make it five straight years. Horsemen are well aware of the fact that Go Zapper sires runners, and that's why his two-year-olds have sold for up to $720,000 this year. They know that a fantastic 20% of his starters win or place in stakes, that he sired eight Grade 1 winners, five millionaires, and a Breeders' Cup champion, and have seen his progeny in the winner's circle at major tracks all over North America. Great racehorse, Go Zapper was elected to the Hall of Fame immediately upon becoming eligible. And he's the son of the elite sire, Awesome Again. Go Zapper stands for $60,000 doing a full stanza in nurses at Edina Springs, Kentucky. Call Cormac Breathnock or Jack Brothers, 859-987-1798, and see the website at AdinaStallions.com.
Fox Sports 1580 is available everywhere you want to listen on our free iHeartRadio app. Download it now. WWTF Georgetown, Lexington.
Miss Inclusive winner last Saturday, the $100,000 Parks Oaks, is a three-year-old filly by Include, bred by Burgundy Jones and trained by John Service. Miss Inclusive is a $75,000 graduate of the OBS April sale. Broke her maiden first time out at two at Laurel and has posted two straight wins and never been off the board in six starts. She's a runner, a typical Include. Includes the sire of four stakes winners already this year, and I'm sure you remember Include Me Out. Winner of the 2015 running of the classic Grade 1 Mother Goose, Riker, champion two-year-old colt in Canada last year. Just two of his more recent stakes winners. Include has sired nine Grade 1 winners, and he came within a length of siring his 10th when Call Included came that close to winning the Grade 1 Gulfstream Park Handicap earlier this year. Year after year, he sent a steady procession of high-class stakes winners to the races. Stand to Mr. and Mrs. Bird and see Jones Airdrie Stud, 10,000 live foals. See the website. Airdrestud.com, and keep in mind that the Airdrie Stallions are your key to a racing profit.
Now, back to Horse Tales with Ursula Ellis.
All right. I'm talking to Tom Hinkle, and he has bred a really nice horse, Divisadero, and I see that you have there's a two-year-old by Mizzen Mass, a colt. Did you all breed it to Mizzen Mass?
We did. We bred the Mizzen Mass colt. I believe his name is Holly Field. We sold him last September 2015. He sold for $180,000 at Keeneland. $180,000 was a lot of money for a Mizzen Mass.
Yeah. Well, they run.
They run. He's a racehorse stallion and a good stallion. Yes. So, he was a nice colt, and we're looking forward to what the future holds for him.
And also, you've got a yearling now.
We have a yearling by Bernardini that'll sell in September.
What does he look like?
He's a nice colt too. This mare gets nice babies, and she's a great. She's a great mother, raises good foals, and we're looking forward to selling the Bernardini colt in September.
Uh-huh.
And she has a 2016 filly by Orb, another nice.
Back to Claiborne.
Well, you know, we don't live very far from Claiborne.
Right. Just lead them over.
And almost we can, from the entrance of our farm, we can see the back of Claiborne.
Is that right? Yeah. Well, why don't we have them put a fence up there for you, save you some gas? Put up
it's been a great gate.
You know.
We've been in the game a long time, and we've been fortunate enough to breed to many of the Claiborne stallions through the years, and have always appreciated the opportunity.
Yeah. How long have you? I know it's a family operated farm, has been forever, hasn't it?
It has. The farm itself was actually bought by my mother's father, or at least a large tract of the farm back in the mid 1920s. Now, he wasn't a horse breeder. He farmed and raised bluegrass seed. And then my father, he acquired a couple of mares back in the mid 1960s. He had started his professional life as a farmer. He ended up going into another business, but he always was farmed and was very passionate about farming. And my brother Henry and I got, after he bought a couple of mares, we were young, but we got interested in horses.
Yeah.
And we were able to, gradually build a farm. We've always had mares and bred primarily to sell. And for many, many years, we boarded horses for other people and as well, and sold horses, yeah, not only for ourselves and for clients. Five or six years ago, we decided to exit the boarding business and just concentrate on our own horses. Mm-hmm.
What's the size of your broodmare, man?
We've got about 30 mares.
Okay. And it'll keep you busy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Telling you, how many acres do you have now?
Well, we have 450 acres developed and devoted to horses. The farm itself is just over 1,000, and we raise cattle and a few crops.
You raise your own hay?
We raise some of our own hay, and we buy some hay, and we raise some of our own bedding.
What do you use for bedding?
Well, we use grass bedding on some, and we use straw some.
Mm-hmm.
And all the mares foal on straw, and mares and foals are on straw, and mm-hmm. prep the yearlings on straw.
Mm-hmm.
But by using the grass bedding, you kind of get two uses out of it.
Yeah, because exactly.
We can use that as bedding, and then we can feed it to the cattle.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's excellent.
But there's a couple of home runs. Is this the biggest thing that's happened since you've been in the horse business?
Yes, we've been fortunate to breed and raise some good horses. Yeah. This year has just been an incredible thrill. We're just very fortunate, and
must have been going to church regular.
Well, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. But we bred another grade one winner back at Keeneland. We bred a filly by the name of Weep No More.
Oh yeah,
who won the Ashland?
Yeah, and that hadn't been too long ago.
No, that was just
Last year, wasn't it?
No, that was this year.
This year?
That was this year.
Oh, my God.
She ran in the Oaks, and Rusty Arnold trains her for the Brummagen family and from here in Lexington. And
okay.
She ran seventh, there's better days. There's for her ahead. She came out of the race well. And
that's the Mock Mahal, please. People? Brummagen?
No, this is Glenn Brummagen.
Oh, okay, Brummagen.
Yeah, and Mr. Brummagen's raced horses for many, many years. I think he's been with Rusty Arnold maybe 37 years,
yeah,
and he has a son named Bo who actually picked this filly out of a two-year-old sale at OBS a year ago.
Yeah. I love the name. That's why I remember the name.
It would have been so appropriate if she could have won. But
yeah.
She ran well, and she ran a great race at Keeneland. And it's been an unreal year for us. We've been very fortunate. We're very thankful. We don't take it for granted, though, because It's the horse business.
Well, it's chicken or feathers, as they say.
Yeah, and anything can happen at any time.
Yeah.
Tom, I know you said you had to be somewhere. It's 20 after, so
well,
you had to be somewhere at 10.
Well, Ursel, thank you. It's great to see you.
Well,
appreciate talking
to you. I just wanted to talk to somebody that...
what a year.
Just, hit it, just while we were still celebrating, I mean...
Well, we like to say we're it's been a great thrill, and we're very fortunate, and we're pinching ourselves to make sure we're not...
Well, hope it continues.
Up. Well, thank you, and... Yeah. And we're going to keep pushing ahead and try to raise some more good horses.
Well, I'm sure you're off to, I would say, off to a pretty good start, but you're having a hell of a great, everybody, hell of a year of it, I'll say that. Thanks for coming in.
Yes, sir. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Tom. That's Tom Hinkle, Hinkle Farms, and they.
It's wonderful.
All righty. Let me catch up here. And let's see where I am. Where I'm at. Okay. Last Saturday, Churchill, the grade one who met a distaff, was won by Terrace, a 5-year-old mare by Flatter. At Gulfstream, Sweet Victory, a 3-year-old filly by Blame, won the Honey Rider Stakes. And the day before, Lone Star, Great Mines, a 5-year-old by Stroll, won the grade three Texas Mile. Terrace, bred by Claven Farm and Adele Dillsnyder, was sold for $90,000 as a yearling and sold again as a 3-year-old for $2,350,000. That was at the Facing Tipton November sale. She's won 5 graded stakes and earned over $1 million. Flatter currently ranks 6 on the North American sire list. The Honey Rider was the first start in stakes for Sweet Victory. She has won 3 of her 5 starts with back-to-back wins. She was bred by William Backer, Sweet Victory, and she's a $285,000 sales grad. She's one of 15 stakes horses from the first 2 crops by Eclipse Award winner Blame. Great Minds has won 3 in a row this year, and the Grade 3 Texas Mile is his second straight stakes win. Bred by Claven Farm, he's earned over $283,000 now. A Grade 1 winner by Pulpit, Stroll has sired 17% stakes horses lifetime. Flatter, Blame, Stroll, stand at Claven Farm. Call Bernie Sams at 859-233-4252. See the website, clavenfarm.com. LexHorseFarms.com. That's my good friend Hill and Reagan Parker. They have been in the real estate business for about 13, 14 years now. Real horse people helping real horse people. And I say that because that they're real horse people is because Hill is a licensed trainer. He has been around horses and ridden horses his entire life. He was an A-level pony clubber. That's where most of our Olympic riders come from. And not only that, Hill and Reagan are just really nice people. So, like I say, he's a hands-on horseman. He understands the horse business, and they understand the horse business, and they're helping real horse people, because I know that they've sold several farms for people in the horse business around here. And those people are always delighted. They give him great references. And, right now, if you're looking for a farm, well, they'll find the perfect farm just for you, your price range, your size. And they'll keep looking until they find just the right place for you. And if you want to list your farm for sale, they've got the connections and they know people in the horse business and they work really hard for you. They're people basically that you can trust. And that's big. That's important. And I know when time comes sooner or later that we're going to have to sell our place, that's going to be the first people that I call be Hill and Reagan Parker. They've got nice places for sale over in Bourbon County right now. And there's 240 acres, a great place listed for $12 million over on right up the road from us on Clay Kaiser in Paris. They've got another lovely acreage farm. It's let's see, how many acres is in this place? I'm looking for it now. It's a price right. It's 20 acres, or right at 20 acres, with a lovely home on it. It can easily developed and converted into a horse farm, small horse farm. It's listed reasonably priced. Anyway, they're nice people to do business with, and I highly recommend them. And here's their website again, LexHorseFarms.com. Hill and Reagan Parker, and here's the phone number, 859-608-8039. Well, Clips Award winner Sprightstown, champion sprinter, was ranked among the top 10 North American sires for 6 straight years.
Country Day, like his sire, Sprightstown, was a brilliant sprinter, won a place in 8 stakes over dirt, grass, synthetic, earned over $500,000. Now his first foals are 2-year-olds, and some of the nation's finest horsemen are singing their praises. For instance, Travis Davis over at the Webb Carroll Training Center. You know, of course, that's where horses like Run Happy and Havre de Gras got their early training. April Mayberry, she broke the legendary Zanetta. Charlie LaPrespi, who trained 2 times horse of the year, Wise Dan. Fred Mitchell, who with his wife, Nancy, bred Beholder, great race mare. Country Days Dam was also a runner. She won great at stakes. She's produced 3 stakes winners. And the family has given us such top sires as Aladar and Grand Slam. Country Day stands at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. 3,500. Do when the foal stands and nurses. Go see him and call the farm at 859-252-3770 and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com.
You're listening to Horse Tales with Ursa Lele.
All right. Hey, Jackie, you want to give me a break and do some commercials here? Not commercials,
you
but...
Yeah. I was looking on Facebook to see if I had any extras, and I did pick up one. So, let me get this stuff going here. Lakeside Arena today and tomorrow, Arabians. May 28th through the 30th is their Kentucky Hunter Jumper Show. They do Hunter Jumper Show once a month at Lakeside. Lakeside, of course, is down where the Versailles Road to Frankfort, on the Frankfort end. And you see the sign. June the 4th, 5th, 11th, and 12th, 4-H is going to be down there. Now, May 21st and 22nd, Nori Scheffel at Scheffel Ridge is having one of her summer horse shows. A lot of fun, very relaxed. Hunters are Saturday, jumpers are Sunday. Macaulay Feed is one of their sponsors. Schooling Friday afternoon from 3 to 7 and Saturday from 7 to 7:45. They're having a Macaulay's Jumper Jackpot for $100. If you need more information, you can always Google Scheffel Ridge. Nori's phone number is 509-0404. Now, May 14th, that would be today, at Masterson. What a shame. Gee whiz. Sayre School's annual 26th annual combined test and dressage show. Gee whiz, look at the nasty weather. Okay, then, are you ready for this, Ursa? I want you to get ready for this. May 21st at Masterson is the Sheep and Fiber Festival.
Sheep and Fiber.
Fiber, yes. Ressy is geared up to go to the Sheep and Fiber Festival.
Whistle the dog. What?
Oh, shoot. All right. Let's see. Then, Toba is having
the
a breeding.
She aren't laughing.
No, I don't know what Fiber's doing. Toba, Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders Association. That's like that guy that we talked about breeds of horses, and he included Briars, the little toy horses.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Anyway, Toba Breeding Clinic. Thoroughbred Owners. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Some of them are $35 and $40.
You don't have to feed them, old.
No, that's true. Toba, Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders Association, having a breeding clinic here in Lexington, June the 3rd, 4th, and 5th. And register, go to toba.org. That's interesting stuff. It's always interesting after the Derby when they have it because they, got more to talk about. Thoroughbred Farm Managers Summer Picnic and Trail Ride's coming up. It's called the Don Snelling's Trail Ride. It's June the 5th at the Life Adventure Center, 580 Milner Road in Versailles. You can Google that to find it. The ride is at 10 o'clock, and The ride's $10. The picnic's $5. They barbecue and stuff. It's a lot of fun. You register to ride 11:30, 12:30. The ride goes from 12:30 to 2:30. If you want more information, call Kim Ramsey of KTFMC, 948-7321. Following that, June 21st is the Golf Scramble, the annual Golf Scramble. It's at the University Club. Tee offs at 12. Get there at 11 to register. It benefits Kimi and TRF. It's $400 for a four team, and it's $100 for an individual. Now, I'm looking at today is the 14th. Oh, yeah. The $130,000 Mary Rena Murphy Grand Prix. 6:30 p.m. to 10 p.m. It's at the Rolex Stadium. It's part of the Kentucky Spring Horse Show. So maybe the weather will be better by then. So that's today at the Horse Park. Tomorrow at the Horse Park in the Claiborne Ring, Kentucky Spring Horse Show, the United States Hunter Jumper International Hunter Derby. It's at the Claiborne Ring tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Tomorrow from 3 to 7 in the Rolex Stadium is the $50,000 Commonwealth Grand Prix. It's also a part of the Kentucky Spring Horse Show. That's the Rolex Stadium. That's the big one. Big stadium when you come in and look off to the right. The $25,000 under 25 Grand Prix will be right before that. So a lot of money going down. Wednesday, May 18th, a part of Kentucky Spring Horse Shows. From 12 to 3 in the afternoon, the $35,000 Welcome Speed CSI 3 is a part of the regular Spring Classic. It will be at the Rolex Stadium this coming Wednesday, the 18th. Thursday, the 19th, is the $35,000 Haggard. You know, some people around here say Haggard. It's Haggard. The $35,000 Haggard Lexington Classic will be at the Rolex Stadium. And Saturday, next Saturday, is the $130,000 Hollow Creek Farm Grand Prix. And it will be at Rolex at 6:30 p.m. All you have to do is go out and sit in that Rolex stadium and you won't miss a thing. All right, what is this in here for? I don't know what you put that in there for. And that's over. And homecoming's over. Bluegrass Technical Community College, Technical College, NARA. If you're interested, you can get a 2-year degree from UK. You can be groom. It's animal husbandry stuff. It's really good. So you can call them. Thoroughbred Charities of America Award of Merit went to Rerun that I'm associated with. You need
how much
me?
More, how much more you got? I've got to running behind here.
Well, real quick, we're here at Training Center.
Okay.
They sell posts and planks for your fencing needs. They'll put them in for you. They'll deliver. You can pick up. You can build your own, or they'll do it for you, including painting. High Hope Steeplechase, Sunday, May 22nd at the Horse Park.
I'll ask you again in a few minutes, but I'm
okay,
running way late. Mizzen Mass has sired 8 Grade 1 winners, the winners of 3 Breeders' Cup Stakes, a champion 2-year-old filly, a classic-winning filly, and his partner is noted for the versatility. He sired the winners of Grade 1 races at distances from 6 to 10 furlongs. They won major stakes over every conceivable type of racing service. 3 of his 7 2016 stakes winners have won Grade 1 stakes. Sea Defense's Grade 1 win boosted his earnings to over $1 million. He's a third $1 million earner for Mizzen Mass. Polina's Love won the Grade 2 Buena Vista and Stonetastic the Grade 2 Inside Information Stakes. Stonetastic, boy, is she fast. She's a catch-me-if-you-can runner. Now, she's won a place in 10 stakes. Last week at Churchill, she was a front-running second in the Grade 1 Humida Distaff, going 7 furlongs at Churchill. I tell you what, if it had been 6 furlongs, she would have been his 9th Grade 1 winner. She's earned over $687,000 now. Mizzen Mass has done about all you could ask for in a sire. Stands for $12,500 live full, so call Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry at 859-272-7629. Take a look at the website, judmont.com.
Nyquist, champion two-year-old, winner of the Kentucky Derby, folded Ashford Stud, and he's sired by Uncle Mo, champion two-year-old, champion sire, standing at Ashford Stud, a valued customer of McCauley Brothers. Nyquist and American Pharoah, last year's Kentucky Derby winner, they went on to take the Triple Crown. Both received the benefits of McCauley Brothers products and at Ashford Stud. American Pharoah is now now numbered among the stallions standing at Ashford. He stands in other stakes. Curaline, winner of the Grade One La Troyen, was bred by Casa Farms. Majestic Harbor, winner of the Grade One Alasheba, was bred by Liberation Farm and Brandywine Farm. The winner of the Grade Two Churchill Downs Turf Mile, Tepet, was bred by Mock Mahal. Belmont's Grade Three Westchester, winner Anchor Down, was bred by Gainesway Thoroughbreds. Coping Away, winner of Gulfstream's English Channel Stakes, was bred by Brandon C. Jones. The Gold Fever Stakes at Belmont went to King Krantz, bred by Bob and Alice Austin. The Desert Coat Stakes at Santa Anita was won by Mr. Opportunist, bred by Parrish Hill and Ashford Stud, and raised at Parrish Hill. And the $100,000 Parks Oaks winner was another stakes winner, bred by Brandon C. Jones. Miss Inclusive is her name. All those mentioned were raised on McCauley products. Congratulations to all the folks from all the folks at McCauley Brothers. To join the winning team, call Mike Warren or David Longmire at 859-873-3333. Stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. See the website at McCauleyBrothers.com. And remember, the McCauleys is all about the horse. Boy, I tell you what. They raise those fees out there. I need to go down and get some more.
Sure.
They it's fantastic on the farm. All of them raise on the farm too. Mm-hmm. Now you can brag about the racetrack stuff all you want to, but it's on the farm where it counts. With Daily Racing Form, what I want you to do is click on for their breeding edition. It's you get the free breeding newsletter. With up-to-date information on sales and stakes plays and the top stories of the week. You get columns also by Jay Hoveday and people like Joy Privman and Nicole Russo. Multiple, of course, you always get multiple sets of past performances. But for decades now, the Daily Racing Form has been racing's Bible, still is. Great publication. And to get that, once again, go to drf.com/breeding and sign up, and you'll get it free every day, and you can't do that. And I tell you, always get the Daily Racing Form. If you're handicapping, you know you can't do any better than the information's in the Daily Racing Form. Daily Racing Form, racing's Bible.
Now, back to the Thoroughbred Training Center in Ursulelis.
All right, let me give you the stakes winners from last week. Boy, a passel of them. These are Kentucky Breds. This is from the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association. That's Chauncey Morris. Of course, Nyquist, winner of the Kentucky Derby. My Uncle Mo, bred by Summerhill Farm. The Grade One Woodford Reserve Turf Classic. Divisadero, bred by Kitten's Joy, bred by Hinkle Farms. The Grade One Jimena Distaff, Terrace won that by Flattered, stands at Claiborne, bred by Claiborne in partnership with the Dale Dill Snyder. The Grade Two Pat Day Mile at Churchill, sharp as Tika, that's the way you pronounce that? Well, I'm going to pronounce it. By Freud, who stands in New York, is the son of Stormcat standing up in New York, read by Clark C. Clark, Jr. Teppan won the Grade Two Churchill Downs Turf Mile by Bernstein, bred by Mock Mahal. Raised a lot of runners over there. The Grade Two American Turf Stakes winner, Camelot Kitten by Kitten's Joy. Ken and Sarah Ramsey. The Grade Two 8 Bell Stakes at Churchill went to Karina Mia by Malibu Moon. Stands over at Spendthrift, bred by Spendthrift. The Grade Three Westchester winner was Anchored Down by Tappet, bred by Gainesway Thoroughbreds. The Grade Three Fort Marcy Stakes winner, Ironicus, by Distorted Humor, bred by Stuart S. Janney III, raised at Claiborne Farm. Grade Three Visual Stakes up in Canada, Passion for Action by Sprite Stem, Windstar Farm Stallion, bred by Ben Hutzel. Well, Ursel, I threw this one in. Shouldn't have, because he's foaling Canada. Oh, what the hell. Windstar's a client, it's a Sprite Stown. The grade three Henry Stakes at Woodbine. Let me check this one real quick. Okay, by Cactus Ridge. I don't know where he is now, but he sires a lot of runners. And this one was bred by James. Well, I wish I hadn't brought it up because I can't pronounce his name. James Pagliafito. Pardon me, James. And Tom Keegan. The Honey Rider Stakes, the Gulfstream winner, is Sweet Victory, 3-0 filly by Blame over at Claiborne Farm, bred by William M. Backer. The English Channel Stakes, the Gulfstream Park winner, went to Coping Way by Brother Derek, bred by Bird and C. Jones. The Parks Oaks at Parks was won by Miss Inclusive by Include, bred by Bird and C. Jones. Include, of course, stands at Airdrie Stud. The Parks Derby was won by Abiding Star by Uncle Mo, bred by, well, hell, that's a Florida bred. The Diablo Stakes at Belmont went to Joking by Distorted Humor, bred by Darley. The Desert Code Stakes at Santa Anita winner went to Mr. Opportunitist by Taylor the Cat. Stands over at Ashford Stud, bred by Parrot Hill Farm and Ashford Stud. The Adoration Stakes at Santa Anita winner, Bo Beholder, came back, won the first time out this year. She's by Henny Hughes, bred by Clarkland Farm. Secretariat Stakes at Great Meadow. As far as I know, Secretariat never ran at Great Meadow. Anyway, this was a mile and a half stakes race over the hurdles, and Rum Tum Tugger won that by Fleet Alex, bred by Gulf Coast Farms. The Turf Paradise Stakes was the ATBA Spring Sale Stakes, and a two-year-old named Mackenzie, well, it's, yes, a two-year-old, Mackenzie Honey, by Parading, bred by the University of Kentucky. Another winner from UK. And let's see the, oh, God, this is one of these French things. Well, anyway, it's the listed stakes in France. Was won by Bolting, a 3-0 colt by Warfront. Don't ask me to pronounce it. Bred by Flaxman Holdings, and it is a Kentucky bred. Well, 17% of DeHaar's starters have won a place in stakes. 13% of his foals have won a place in stakes. That's a rock-solid record. Began by signing the brilliant Gypsy Robin in his first crop. She won five stakes, including a pair of graded stakes at Keeneland. Ran second in the grade one test at Saratoga and earned nearly $600,000. And he's sent stakes horses to the races every year since. This year, close fall off, another outstanding filly by DeHaar. Won the $125,000 correction in New York, set a new track record at the same track, also finished second in the Grade 2 Barbara Fritchie Stakes at Law. She's earned over $366,000. And another three-year-old filly, Tacrees, ran second in the $100,000 Cicada Stakes at Aqueduct. If ever a horse was bred to sire runners, it's DeHaar, and he's doing it. Starters have earned an average of right at $70,000. He won Grade 1 Stakes. He's by the elite sire Awesome Again. His half-sister is the multiple grade one winner, Sponge Sugar. Stands at Shadwell. Call Stallion Manager Ken Barnes at 859-224-4585 and see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
Dating back more than a century, race records, public auction prices, pedigree statistics, and more, all included for $275 per year. Visit brisnet.com/APR and discover why the APR has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations, and why a new generation is using APR Online.
Well, overanalyzed won the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby at 3 after he had won two of his the most coveted stakes for juveniles in New York the year before. That would be the Grade 2 Futurity and the Grade 2 Remsen. Entered stud with earnings of more than $1 million. Was popular with breeders right from the get-go. Covered 274 mares in his first two seasons stud while standing for $10,000 to win a full stand in nurses. First foals are yearlings. Overanalyzes by Dixie Union. Of course, he's also the sire of Union Rags. Union Rags, a grade one winner, retired with a fee of some $35,000. His first foals are two-year-olds. Dixie Union, aside some 50 stakes winners, is one of 117 stakes winners by Northern Dancers' crack son, Dixieland Band. Una Cloud, dam of Overanalyzed, produced two grade winners. The other's Metabreeze. She won the grade one matron. Strong black type family, a grade one family. For more on Overanalyze and the stallions standing over at Windstar Farm, give Kyle Wilson, Sean Tugel, and Carolyn Walsh a call at 859-873-1717. They'll do their best to accommodate you. See the website at windstarfarm.com.
Now, back to Horsetails with Ursula Ellis.
All righty. Well, I've got Steve Moody with me this morning, and there's a stakes race down at, I forget the name of it, Dunn, but it's down at Churchill Downs today. Going, I think it's for fillies and mares going 5/8 of a mile. Is that right, Steve?
That's right. There's a little 5/8 on the grass. It's the Unbridled Sydney Stakes, who is a nice mare that was a turf sprinter a few years back. And field of 8 has been drawn. There's one scratch, the 4. Two Wonders is out. So it leaves a field of 7. And you know, the big question here, Ursula, is what is Acapulco, is he or is she, you know, back to her form from when she was 2? Because she's clearly the class of this field after she
Oklahoma.
Started her career at Keeneland, shipped over to Ascot, and won the grade or the Group 2 Queen Mary at Royal Ascot, and then stayed over there a couple months later, ran the Group 1 Northup at York, finished 2nd in there. She was running against 19 and 20 horse fields. And, you know, if she runs back to those races, they're not going to beat her. But she's only had one start since then. That was a race up at Turfway that was kind of a race she won, but it wasn't a certainly anything overwhelming about it. Of course, it was on the synthetic, wasn't on turf. But, you know, if she's anywhere close to her 2-year-old form, she's going to be very difficult to beat. The bottom horse I thought had as one to look at here, the 8, Lindy's Farney. She's been facing a little bit better than what she meets today. She's got tactical speed. She can, I think she'll stalk along the outside. She should be fairly close. It you know, maybe just sit just off of it. And she shortens up a bit today to 5/8. And I think she's the top contender. And then a couple other ones in here to look at, the 7, Tessalina. Another one that I think will be tracking the leaders along the outside. Also, this is also from the Wesley Ward's barn. Julian LeParoux has the mount on her. And then the 2 horse, Late Spring. She came back off of a layoff and ran a big race, got a win, and she'll be looking to repeat today for Vicky Oliver. So, pretty well matched group, depending on what you think of Acapulco. I had to, you know, don't like to take favorites, Ursula, but it's hard to overlook this one. I just think she's the class of the field if she's anywhere near her best. Taking her on top with the Lindy Sparney 2nd and Late Spring 3rd. So we'll go 1-8-2 in the Unbridled Sydney.
Thank you, Steve. We do appreciate it. Good Derby, huh?
Well, it was. I was most pleased with the 2 races after the Derby. That was that's what made the weekend for me. So,
spoken like a true gambler.
Yeah, the Derby. Derby didn't do a lot for me, but the 2 were. Thank goodness they carted 2 more after that.
Well, good savers, huh?
That's right. Get out on the last.
All right, Steve. Steve's the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. You can go to brisnet.com, BRISNET.com, pick up your copy of it, and you can find out, have those 2 last savers. He won't guarantee it every day, but if you bought that Handicapper Sheet last Saturday, you'd have come out ahead. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
All right, Ursula.
All righty. Oh, well, how much time we got left here? Oh, good. All right. What were you going to say about
Cactus Ridge? Guy named Toby Keith sings country music and that kind of stuff. Has a ranch in Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
Cactus Ridge was over here at Walmack when he was bred. He's a Kentucky bred. And he stood, I think, at Walmack. And then they took him to Oklahoma and stand him down there 2 years ago. He is listed now as retired at home in Oklahoma.
Oh, okay.
At a place called Dream Walking Farm.
Okay.
All right. Dream Walker, I think he was, well, was he bred by Dream Walker?
Yeah, that's what they call their place.
Oh, okay.
They raise a lot of
beef. But, you know, it's been a useful kind of show. Well, thank you. I didn't know where it was.
Yeah, well, I looked it up because, you know, you wonder what happened to nice horses.
Yeah. I got a minute here, but they're running to Peter Pan up in New York today. Peter Pan was full of 1904. One of the better two-year-olds of his year. Wasn't the best one, but he was a good one. Won some stakes. Won the Flash Stakes among stakes races. And he was bred by James R. Keene. And he was by Commando, who was by Domino. And he won the Belmont Stakes as a three-year-old and was a pretty good kind of a racehorse. No two ways about that, but not the best of his generation. He certainly wasn't as good as his sire, his grandsire. His sire was both Commando but Domino. But he was, I said this a little bit earlier, but in case you missed it, he was a horse that was standing for James R. Keene by Commando over at Castleton Farm. And he put, as a two-year-old, Mr. Keene had entered 3 2-year-olds in the Futurity Stakes in New York. And one of them ran second. Peter Pan was out of the money that day, but the winner of that race was by a horse named Voter. And Voter was also a stallion standing at Castleton Farm. And I guess that Mr. Keene kind of had a short fuse anyway. He didn't like that at all, getting beat by a horse, he had let somebody into one of his stallions. So thereafter, he never let anybody breed any of his stallions again. You know, if you wanted, you just couldn't do it. He shut it down. So we've gone a little over a century from a farm standing 4 or 5 studs over there. They wouldn't let anybody on the outside breed to him, to breeding 200 mares a year. You know, and so it's a little bit times changed in the times, you know, but I thought that was kind of funny. But he was he ended up, incidentally, for Mr. Harry Payne Whitney, Peter Pan did, because he had a dispersal Keene did in 1913. And
he get out of the business?
Well, he passed away. That got him out of the business.
Oh, that got him out of the business,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
That'll do her.
Anyway.
So take that.
Yeah. So anyway, the horse was purchased by Mr. Harry Payne Whitney, who owned this property
that we're
sitting in right now. And he might have been in barn 28 at stud over here.
Could have been
over here. I've got Mike Cameron over here who picked Nyquist to win a derby. And I'm going to say it before he says it. But anyway, got 5 minutes. Okay. That's kind of the story of Peter Pan. Although that drives the sire line, the Domino line through Peter Pan has died out. But if you go back through the other side of the Domino line, not through Domino, the Himyar line back that way, it's, well, Domino, because yeah. Include, who stands down at Airdrie Stud, traces a mail line back to Domino. But the branch through Peter Pan has died out. Of course, I'm trying to think how it came back. With a broad brush and traces back that way to Domino. There's another son of Include, incidentally. What is his name? Redeemed. Stands up in Maryland. He's a young horse standing up there, but a pretty good racehorse. I mean, he was a good racehorse. Typical Include. Include sired or not him. A lot of good stakes winners. I think 8 of his 9 stakes winners were grade 1 winners were by fillies. Jimmy Corrigan just came in here. He'd been cussing me because we got the telephone line side stand up. Well, what was you going to do, Jimmy? Anyway, he wants to use the...
He wants to call Ireland for free.
Yeah.
That's it.
Click, probably.
No, he wants this place to pay for it.
He wants to use the fax over there.
Oh.
But we'll get it to you in a minute. And that's a picture over there. Anyway, Jimmy Cargan trains out here. One of these crazy Irishmen.
Yep.
And, all right. Oh, shut up. What are you going to do there, Jackie? You want to fill in some time there?
Oh, I was going to tell you about High Hope. High Hope's coming up next weekend. It's Sunday. It's the day after the Preakness every year. Hey, Jimmy, you want a chocolate?
No, thank you.
The fun part is, of course,
we're
they
almost
have,
off there. We'll be off in just a few minutes. And then you can have the phone.
The quicker the better, right?
Yeah.
No, he's lying through his teeth.
Here, you want something good? Eat one of these. That is great. Charlie McDaniels made it himself over there.
Oh, my God. Did you wash your hands? No. Good. That makes it even better. High Hope starts at 11. And every year they have the stick horse races for kids, the Terrier Association race, the Terrier races, a lot of booths and vendors and kids activities. They have mounted police flag presentation and national anthem on the course. Then the ladies side saddle flat race.
I got a commercial to do.
Oh, sorry. Go for it.
May 6th at Churchill, the grade 2, $200,000 eight bell stakes was won by Karina Mia, 3-0 filly by Malibu Moon. Karina Maria, winner at 2 of the grade 2 Golden Rod, also at Churchill, was bred by Spendthrift Farm. She's a $410,000 graduate of the September sales out at Keenan. She's owned by Three Chimneys Farm and trained by Bill Mott. Malibu Moon, a top 10 sire again this year. He ranks 4th, as a matter of fact. He's a sire of more than 90 stakes winners, including a Kentucky Derby winner, a champion 2-year-old, classic-winning fillies, and 9 grade 1 winners. He stands at Spendthrift Farm, $95,000 payable when the foal stands and nurses. Spendthrift Farm, that's the breeder's farm, offers breeder stands with a wide variety of bloodlines. Many coupled with the extremely popular breed Secure and Share the Upside program. So if you got a late foal and mare, call Des Dempsey or Brian Lyle and Mark Toothacker. They'll be happy to work with you to provide the stallion best suited for your mare and your pocketbook, which is more important. The number is 859-294-0030. And for more on the Spendthrift stallions, go to the website, spendthriftfarm.com.
You're listening to Horse Tales with Ursula Lele.
Okay.
There's two ladies' side saddle races. One's flat and one's over the fences. The one over the fences is the last race of the day. That's so they won't have to go too fast picking up the bodies for another race. It'll be over. So.
Oh, they're playing our song. Got to bail out.
Go for it.
All righty. I don't have time to do that. Well, thank you. I've got my man Les over
Ressy.
Ressy over here. I forgot your name, Ressy. I've known you for 40 years. And Tim,
that's
down
okay,
at the station.
Ed.
Thanks, Tim. Good job. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week, and thanks for listening.